All right, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to the book of Revelation, chapter number 7. Revelation chapter number 7. We're going to look just a few verses here. Verse 9 through 12. Revelation 7, 9 through 12. Revelation 7, 9 through 12. Beautiful, beautiful passage here, beautiful scene that should encourage your hearts. In Revelation 7, 9, John is writing, and it's interesting that he sees one group, he sees another, just as he heard that the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, but when he saw it was a lamb. He uses the same type of analogy here. He speaks of the 144,000. He hears this listing, and that what he sees is something more glorious. And the Bible says in verse number 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number." Notice where they're from. All nations and kindreds of people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne in their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we're thankful that in a book that often scares people to death, we can look here and find encouragement. We can find triumph. We can see God, the people of God, gathered and worshiping around the throne of God with thanksgiving. People from all over the world, of every kindred, tongue, and tribe, and people, ethnic group, are gathered in one place in singularity, giving thanks and worship and praise unto the one who is only worthy, to the one who deserves all glory, to the one who stands majestically there, the one that has redeemed fallen man. God, we thank you for the promise, God, that we have in the Word of God. We are thankful, God, that we can take courage knowing that we are on the winning side. And God, help us to live our lives in such a way that we may live with gratitude. It's a message that needs to be preached more often. It's something we need to remind ourselves of more than just once a year. But God, something we need to do habitually. I thank you for the Bible today. I ask you to make preaching easy, and the word that will go out today will be effective upon the hearts of those that are here to encourage, whether to reprove or to convict of sin. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a poem that we talked to the kids about in Wednesday Warriors. And I don't know where it exactly come from. We kind of made a skit about it the other day, and kids will probably remember this to some degree. I don't know exactly where it come from. I read about one parent, I guess, was, I don't know if they were taking credit for it or not. You know, found it on the internet. So, you know, you got to believe everything on the internet, okay? Not. But some of the story had been born from was that there was a parent. They were going down the road, and I think both parents were in the vehicle, and they gave their son a donut. And as they got down the road, they was listening to the child in the back, and he was complaining about his donut from the back seat of the car. The parents asked, "What's the problem? What's wrong with the donut?" And the child was upset because his donut had a hole in it. Right? So I can't, there's a big hole missing from my donut. Okay? Don't that tend to be the problem for most of us? We may have a lot of blessings, but we're focused on what we don't have, what we think's missing. And you know, the truth of the matter is, from what I understand, there's a reason there's a hole in that donut. It's not so the baker can steal your joy, okay? Or you can't have complete joy They used to to hang the donut up and glaze it and all those things, put the icing and so forth on so they'd have somewhere to hang the donut. And the problem is often we go through life focused on what's missing and what we don't have instead of focusing on the good things that God has blessed us with. There's a hole there for a purpose, and if there's some holes in your life that you want to look at and complain about, you might ought to stop and you ought to think that maybe they're there because God had a purpose. Baker knows what he's doing, okay? And he knows what the purpose is. And it's not to ruin your joy, but you should focus on what you do have. And besides that, don't we all like donuts anyway? I don't care. As long as somebody, there's not big teeth marks in the side of mine. You can give me donuts with holes on them all day long. But the poem we taught the children, it goes pretty simple. And some of them, they recite, I told them to give them candy. They left candy over there, so may have to go get that search. But it's simply this. As you go through life, make this your goal. Focus on the donut and not the hole. And that's good for children. Think about it. As you go through life, make this your goal. Focus on the donut and not the hole. You know what? Not only our children need to remember that, but our adults need to remember that. Everybody. Gratitude costs nothing in this life, but it pays tremendous dividends in our relationships to others and especially to God. And I like this statement. Thanksgiving leads to thanksgiving. Think about that. Thanksgiving leads to thanksgiving. The Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. I don't hear a lot of verses, so you're just going to have to try to stay up. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are three traits to being a complete believer here. Number one, you ought to have a rejoicing heart. If you have a rejoicing heart, you're focused on the donut and not the hole. Number two, you're to pray without ceasing. In other words, you take everything to God, trusting in Him. Thirdly is this, you give thanks liberally. You give thanks for this is the will of God. This is God's plan. This is God's purpose. He knows what He's doing, and all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. So we can look at gratitude and we can look at thanksgiving from many different directions. But I believe one of the ways that we can understand what thanksgiving is and what gratitude is by seeing what it is not. And the first thing I want to say is that gratitude is not external, but rather internal. Think about it. It's external, not internal. You know, the Bible says in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You see, that takes some recognition that everything good you have in your life, everything you're blessed with, has come from God. And the only way you'll recognize that is to have something within you, living within you, that points you that direction, understanding it comes from a God who changes not, from the Father of lights, and says that there in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. In other words, God does not change. So it starts on the inside. You see, it starts with a recognition as to where our blessings come from. Thanksgiving, pay attention to this, doesn't come from events. It doesn't come from schedules, and it certainly doesn't come from gatherings and even meals. Because when me and Jill first got married, I think on our Thanksgiving days, we would go to four different meals. You say, can there be too much of a good thing? Yes. In fact, we were stressed out all the time. And I get aggravated. Well, we're spending all this time over here with your families. You're spending all your time over here. Why do you have to go hunting in the morning? You know how it is, how young couples are, right? Well, that's what me and my buddies, we've always done that on Thanksgiving. When we all get together and we go hunt, you know, and so then everybody's all stressed out. Then you add kids in the mix, and guess what? It's tough, amen? So let me just say this. Having a schedule and having plans and family gatherings, it's not external things. That's not what it is. Thanksgiving comes from the heart, and too many focus on thanks having and not truly thanksgiving. having something to do, what they have, what they own, what they possess. But thanksgiving comes from the heart. It's not some ceremony. It's something that's substantial, something that's real, something that's tangible, something that's eternal, that you can focus on, that God has blessed you with. Thanksgiving is born upon in a heart that is reflective of who God is and what God has done and His goodness to us. Let me say this secondly, thanksgiving's not material. Rather, it's spiritual. Now, I understand that we need to be thankful for material things. I'll tell you more about that here in a minute. But it's more than that. You see, a lot of people, they're thankful for their cars. They're thankful for maybe some clothing, maybe thankful for houses, thankful for toys that they have in the garage. They may be thankful for all that. But when it comes to the things that really matter, thanksgiving is something where we focus on the things that only God can give. I believe we ought to be thankful for the salvation that we have, just as the lady sang that song today. Thank you, Lord. But we also need to be thankful for a standing that we have in Christ. Do you realize that we positionally are in the heavenlies? Do you realize that we are not citizens here upon earth, but citizens of heaven? I want you to understand that you say, what kingdom do you belong to? I belong to the kingdom of God, amen. You say, Brother Grant, who do you belong? I belong to Christ. Who's your master? Christ. You say, what is that? Well, the Bible says that there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Understand this, that if you've been saved by the grace of God, you never have to worry about standing in judicial punishment or threat from the supreme judge of all the universe, because Christ has done paid your penalty. I stand clean. I've been adopted into the family of God. That's something to rejoice about. I've been birthed in. I've been adopted in. Brother, He has got me covered. Amen. And I want you to understand, I can look to Him and I can rejoice in that. So, thanksgiving, I believe this, is spiritual. But the problem is, too many people focus on the artificial, the things that are temporary. That's the only things they think about. Do you realize even your health is temporary? It's not going to last forever. But you see, thanksgiving, it's not artificial, but it's beneficial. It's the things that are eternal, the unseen things we be thankful for. Thirdly, thanksgiving is not cultural. Think about this. It's not cultural. It's universal. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, you see, we have this idea that Thanksgiving is just something us Americans do. Right? Once a year. Get together. We remember. We get thankful. Go to church. Share some testimonies. Say a prayer once a year around the table with family. I got news for you. We don't have exclusive rights to Thanksgiving. We don't. You say, Brother Grant, can you prove that? Yeah, I can, because what I just read to you in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, you see that great multitude around the throne of God from all nations, kindreds, and peoples, and tongues. If they stand there praising the Lamb, those that have been saved because they have white robes, they're praising Him with palms in their hand and saying, salvation to our God that sits upon the throne. This is not just Americans here, okay? There's not just people like us, but from every people, ethnic group are here saying blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So you say, what are you saying? I'm saying to you, it's not just cultural. It's not just something that we do and we have the exclusive rights to this holiday. It's not just historical. And you say, what do you mean by it's just not historical? Well, you see, some people out there think Thanksgiving just has to do with some pilgrims and some Indians and killing a turkey, and they had this meal and they threw some popcorn on the fire and they brought some venison in. That's deer for all us regular folk, amen. And they ate and they had a big time and they celebrated and gave. It's a beautiful story. I'm not trying to diminish that. But Thanksgiving is so much more than just a holiday that is reserved for our cultural. Or for our culture. And it's not just something, a historical event. I want you to understand it's biblical. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3, it says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly And all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. And whatsoever you do in word or do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it all the songs, all the hymns. Why? Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You see, it's so much more. It's everything. It's not just something that we look to and think, well, this is just, you know, this is cultural. No, I want you to know it's biblical, amen. And it's not heretical, too. Let me just say this, throw this out. Because I know how some of the Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and some other groups get out here, and any type of holiday, they say, oh, this is that, and this is pagan, this is wrong, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't celebrate, be thankful for a nation. You know what I say to that? Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, it's very, it's not heretical, it's theological. So, Brother Green, you prove that? Yeah, Psalm 107:1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. That settles it for me. Oh, give thanks. And you know what? If there's any shame in what we do, as a culture in America, we ought to have Thanksgiving 6 or 7 times a year. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 50:23, it says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. So whoever offers thanksgiving, they glorify God. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. So he gets glory from it. Let me say this. Fourthly, thanksgiving is not optional. It's essential. People act like it's no big deal. They just go through life. You don't have to give thanks. It's nothing. You know, how somebody, I pray once during Thanksgiving and I give thanks for my food. I don't have to ask thanks for any more throughout the rest of the year. Kind of like a guy one time every night before he went to bed, he said the same prayer. And then he finally got it embroidered and put up on the wall, the prayer that he said before he went to bed. And eventually got to the place he walked in and said, there it is, God, good night. And you know what the problem is? A lot of people, that's how we approach God. We're not too thankful. So, God, I told you I was thankful. You know, if you only told your wife you loved her on the day you got married, and you've been married 20 years, you probably got a lot of problems. Amen? Yo, give thanks unto the Lord, He's good. And whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. It is not optional, it's essential. Listen, if you're thankful whenever you just feel thankful, you're just going to focus on the things you think are good, and you're just going to focus on the positive things in life, the things that give you energy. Sounds like the New Age nonsense the world says. The thing, you know, all the positive vibes. And you're not thankful. Let me tell you what's going to happen. If that's what you're thankful for, you'll never learn to be thankful for the negative things. You'll never learn to be thankful for the hard things. You know what you'll be? You'll be a negative old complainer. That's all you're going to be. You've got to learn to be thankful. It's essential to be thankful purposely, to have the right attitude and perspectives of life. And if you're mad, maybe it's because you need to learn to be thankful. Instead of looking at the hole, you see the donut. And so many Christians go through life and that's all they see. Their perspectives are wrong. Their attitude is wrong. Let me tell you, the joy of living comes from a heart of thanksgiving. It's not to be occasional. It's habitual. Psalm 92:1-2 tells us this. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises of Thy name, O Most High, to show forth loving kindness how in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. I say habitual. Well, Psalm 119:62 says, and at midnight I'll rise and give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. What's God saying here? In the morning I'll give thanks. Lay down and give thanks. And I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm going to give thanks. You know what that tells me? It ought to be the hallmark of a believer. But most of the time, we're battling something, we're angry at something, we're complaining about something. That becomes a hallmark. That becomes a thing. That's our identity, right? How many say amen, right? Say ouch or something. I mean, we're guilty. I'm guilty. And so we look here, and so what we see, you know, is it occasional, but it'd be habitual. It's not temporal. It's something continual. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I probably heard Brother Harvey say that at least 100 times since I've been here. Amen? Have you ever heard him say that besides me? I mean, that's it. He says it to me all the time. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Amen. That's the way we ought to think. And so Psalm 136:1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever." Why should it be habitual? Because God's mercy never runs out. Doesn't stop. God's blessings don't stop. Man, we ought to be thankful. Let me give you this. Fifthly, thanksgiving is not situational. It's continual. What do you mean? Well, let me say this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks. Let me say that again. In everything give thanks. Now, that tells me that it's not situational. It says, "For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you." You say, what are you saying to me, Brother Grant? Well, here's what I'm saying. You know a story in Acts chapter 16? Not just story, it's a true story. Paul was preaching in the city of Philippi. There's this little girl that started following him around, and she was a fortune teller, and she had this spirit of divination, and she's telling everybody they're the servants of the Most High God. And after a few days, now nothing wrong with her message, but Paul got tired of listening to that demon. Amen. And you know what? He rebuked the demon, and the demon come out, and guess what? The little girl didn't have any more powers to be a diviner. And so what happened was the people got mad. They saw this woman was their, you know what's going to make them all kinds of money, this little girl. And so guess what? They took them before the magistrate saying, "These men being Jews, they're troubling our cities. They're teaching customs. They're not lawful. We ain't supposed to receive them. And we don't even deserve these things being Romans." Now never mind, they didn't see if Paul was a Roman or not, because they did not have the rights to do what they did to Paul here because of his Roman citizenship. But the Bible says the multitude rose up against them. They rent their clothes off. They beat them. And when they laid many stripes on them, that means they took a whip to them. The Bible says that they thrust them. They gave them to the jailer. They put them in the back of the prison. They put locks on their hands and locks on their feet. And guess what? At midnight, Paul said, "I want to call my attorney. They'll never get away with this. How dare they do this?" No, you know what he did? He gave thanksgiving in all things. He gave thanksgiving in everything. You know what Paul and Silas did? They didn't whine. They didn't cry. But the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The Bible says the prisoners heard them. You know what? They thought, these guys are different. You know what? If you'd live your life with an attitude of gratitude, I'll tell you what happened. The world would see you different too. Let me put it this, let me switch it around. If I would live my life with an attitude of gratitude, the world would see this Christianity very different than what they see. We're all guilty. I know it. I know I'm guilty. So let me give you some application. What should we be thankful for? I believe we need to be thankful every day. Every single day we get up for the protection of life. You know what? Just by the grace of God, you're here this morning. There's some nut jobs out on the road, right? There's crazy things that can happen. I mean, one day we're all going to have to get an account before God, and that ought to behoove us to be living our life in such a way that honors Him, because it instantly, just in one heartbeat away, we can be standing before God. I mean, listen, I still get nervous. I dropped Isaac off the hunt one morning. I mean, you know, 5:30, he takes off down there without no lights. I'm going way back there, go climb in a tree stand, and, you know, climb up in that thing when I'm climbing stand. I'm sitting here thinking, "Dad, I know he's..." But to me, it wasn't like I was watching an 18-year-old boy climb a fence. It's like watching a little 4-year-old climb and go over there, right? And I'm like, "What am I doing?" And I'm nervous till I get a phone call. Him and General went hunting. Guess what? I'm nervous till I get a phone call. This morning, I started sending texts. I hadn't heard from him and Bryce. I still get... You know what? I still worry, right? I still worry about all that stuff. But you know what? I pray God watch over them, God protect them. And you know what? There's a lot of crazy things happen. And then they get back safe. You know what? I think God's been good. Amen. God's been good. Even if one of them jumps in a truck and hits the gas and hits the wall on the garage, amen, nobody got hurt, nobody got run over, God's been good. I didn't say I acted the best when they done that. I'm not going to even try to pretend I was spiritual when they done that, but I'm thankful nobody got run over, right? So, we need to be thankful for the protection of life. We need to be thankful for the people in our life. You just read all the people that in the New Testament that Paul wrote to and gave thanks. Now, we know he didn't write this in Acts 28 and verse 15, but this is about him. This guy had been arrested and falsely accused. They tried to murder him, and he'd been in prison in Caesarea for, I believe, it was over 2 years. He finally put on a ship to go to Rome, and this thing, the storms derail him, and finally they go back out to sea. They shipwreck, and he's dazed out in the sea like a bobber. When he gets to land, they build a fire, and he gets bit by a snake. And guess what? The Bible says that when they finally reach land and they're headed to Rome, that the Bible says that in Acts 28:15, and from thence the brethren heard of us, and they came to meet us far as a pie for them, and the three taverns, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. You know what most of us would have done? We would have whined and cried. I said, you wouldn't believe what I've been through. That's what Grant Hardwick would have done. I'm not as spiritual as Paul. You wouldn't believe what he took courage. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Listen, he's talking to these people who got saved. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. That's what you were in the past. But you've obeyed from the heart that former doctrine which delivered you. You've been saved. I thank God for you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, you heard it of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in ye that believe. Do you see that? He was thankful for people that listened to the word of God and believed the word of God and obeyed the word of God. Everything he's finding something. You get 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First verse is just a typical greeting of Paul, thanking them, grace be unto you, peace from God the Father. But in verse 2, and we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work in faith. So he's praying for them. He's remembering. He's thankful for their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience, and the hope that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I can go on. In verse 8, he gave thanks that the word of God sounded out from them. You look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. He said, we bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. He was thankful that when he looked and he saw people grow. Now listen, beloved, I want you to get this. He could have found things to complain about. He could have found things to fuss about. And there's times that Paul would correct certain things, but he always, always took the time not to see the whole, but to see the donut. Amen. And so should we. We need to focus on the right things. You find Ephesians 1:16 says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I mean, he gave thanks for these people. They had problems? Yeah, they did. But he gave thanks for them. Let me give you a thirdly thing we can be thankful for. The problems in our life, and I'm not going to preach all these, but number one, that they're not worse than what they are. Number two, God uses problems as a means to teach us and to mature us. Thirdly, I believe God's presence and love becomes real to us through our problems, because we lean upon Him like a child running to their parents. Let me say this, I believe we'd be thankful for the peace that God gives through salvation in our life. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Peace. Thankful for the provision of life. We talk about, now this is food. Thankful for food. Brother Paul gave us the beef. Couldn't tell you how I'm thankful. Rodney, several of you given food to us before, but and some people just bring food. Trust me, I'm truly thankful for it. You try to feed them boys. And they don't run with lightweight friends either. I mean, they don't ever bring a friend home under 220 pounds. Amen. I mean, and some of them bigger than that. And so that's just the way they go. Unless it's Raven, but you know, that's about the only one. And I'm glad, you know, the girlfriend's not bigger than him packing around. But anyway, good rule. But anyway, I better move on before I get in trouble. So, I don't know, where was I going with that? I was going to hot water is where I was going. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all that. You know why? Because I'll tell you what, God has been good. I'm thankful for the provision of life, food, money, shelter, all those things. I'm thankful to be able to get in the vehicle and start it up and it's warm enough. I don't freeze to death. I mean, I used to be just thankful to have a vehicle and it didn't have air conditioner. You rolled down the window, you're thankful that the knob hadn't broke off the window. Amen? You ever been there, you know? Man, we're spoiled. God's good. I mean, I got an air conditioner, and now you got something in the van. This one side's just cold, and this one side's just temperature. I mean, God's been good. Wouldn't you be thankful for provision or life? And why is that? Let me just tell you something. The hallmark of an unbeliever and those that are reprobate, those that are Gentiles, those that are not saved, Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. 2 Timothy gives us a condition, and I believe these are growing conditions of the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Guess this, unthankful. If you do not know God this morning, you need to be thankful. And you say, why is that? Because these things I said, they apply to the Christians. But if you are not saved, you need to be thankful. You want me to tell you why? Because God is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. But all that repent, God right now will save you if you'll come with a broken and a contrite heart. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, be merciful to me. You need to be thankful that there's a God in heaven who's still in the saving business, and God will save you if you put your faith and trust in Him. It's simple. Put your faith and trust in Him and be saved today. Be thankful for that. And you say, what are you saying, Brother Grant? And if you're a Christian, I want to say this to you. You need to understand these things aren't optional. This thing is not cultural. This is something that ought to be habitual. This ought to be something that goes on in your life every single day. And you say, Brother Grant, you're preaching to us. I'm preaching to me as much as I am anybody. Because I know I'm guilty, and if I'm guilty, I dare say you're guilty too. Not because I don't think I'm better than you. I just think we're all have sinful natures, and we get busy, and we don't focus. We don't think. Be thankful today. Our Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We're thankful for these reminders. And I pray, God, if there's anyone here that's lost, first I want to thank You that they were here. Because they've seen how great You are. I'm thankful they heard the songs. They've been around Christian friends. I'm thankful, God, that they heard today that they can be saved if they'll simply repent and believe the gospel. I'm thankful that, God, they heard that You are long-suffering and, God, You're not willing that they would perish, but that they would repent and be saved. And I'm thankful, God, that Your Spirit still convicts sinners. So I pray today, Holy Spirit of God, convict the sinner, draw them to You, and may they look up with faith and repentance. And know what it is to have eternal salvation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.